Port Phillip, 1945. The Jordache family bakery sits nestled in this riverside town, the window sign reading, Bakery, A. Jordache, Pro. The final P having fallen off years ago, a small but telling symbol of decay. Inside this pressure cooker of resentment works Axel Jordache, a bitter German immigrant who drinks heavily while making bread in his hellish basement bakery. In hell making Parker House rolls, he thinks to himself, covered in flour and sweat. His wife Mary, once neat from her orphanage upbringing, has deteriorated into a sharp-tongued woman fighting for every dollar from her miserly husband. Their 20-year marriage is a battlefield where Axel besieges her body while denying her money. In this toxic environment, their three children, Rudolph, Thomas, and Gretchen, forge personalities that will carry them to dramatically different destinies across continents, embodying the contradictions of the American dream itself. Here's a more suitable version that preserves the key narrative elements while using more appropriate language for audio. Two brothers, two paths, Rudolph and Thomas. 17-year-old Rudolph adapts to challenging home conditions by using school facilities. As his mother's preferred child, he navigates the complexities of being class president while harboring private doubts. Behind his polished exterior, he channels his emotions into personal writings, including admiration for a teacher he never expresses. Thomas, the younger sibling, contrasts his brother's calculated nature with impulsive behavior. After a confrontation at a cinema that leaves him temporarily triumphant, he experiences deep introspection about his actions and their underlying motivations. Their father's tragic departure from the family, a deliberately public act on the Hudson River meant as social commentary, fuels Rudolph's ambition to leave Port Phillip. His later political opportunity as a moderate candidate builds on years of careful relationship building. When his close friend Brad marries Virginia, whom Rudolph privately admires, he struggles with conflicting loyalties, leading to professional complications he later tries to remedy through business investments. Thomas finds employment at Uncle Harold's automotive business, following a youthful incident of destructive behavior. There, he develops a meaningful connection with Clothilde, a reserved immigrant worker. Their relationship, marked by moments of genuine care and connection, ends abruptly due to Uncle Harold's immigration-related intervention. Gretchen Jordache's beauty serves as both her escape from Port Phillip and the source of her deepest struggles. Her affair with Theodore Boylan transforms her self-perception, though she feels little affection for him, viewing him as flimsy and cynical, while accepting his expertise in lovemaking. After moving to New York to pursue acting, Gretchen meets Willie Abbott, a wounded veteran whose tenderness contrasts with Boylan's calculated seduction. When she becomes pregnant with Willie's child, he promises to leave his wife for her. Years later in California, Gretchen lives alone in a house won from her ex-husband Colin. During a visit to Whitby University, her conversation with son Billy grows tense over his poor academics. When she warns about draft consequences, Billy dismisses her. The army can't be more boring than most courses here. Their exchange ends with his brutal honesty. I'm a big grown man and I think everything stinks. If I were you, I'd forget about me for a while. He walks away, becoming just a small blue and gray figure in the distance, visually representing their emotional separation. Despite geographic distance and different paths, the Jordache siblings maintain their blood ties, supporting each other through personal and political crises. Years after his troubled youth, Thomas captains the charter boat Clotilde, named after his first love, with partner Dwyer and girlfriend Kate. He's crafted a life of freedom on the water, far from American constraints. Thomas navigates both seas and complex social dynamics between wealthy clients and their servers. After helping the elderly Goodhart swim ashore in dangerous conditions, Mr. Goodhart confesses that watching three splendid young people happily working together made him feel old, bitterly stating, "Old age is an aberration, a rare moment of connection across class lines." Thomas's gift was ferocity, both dangerous and occasionally saving. His pattern with women began when he impregnated both Chase twins, resulting in statutory rape charges. Aboard the Clotilde, he finds temporary peace that eluded him in America. Yet his violent nature and tendency to face danger alone ultimately lead to his tragic death at sea, forcing his family to confront his complex legacy. Rudolf's ethical rigidity serves as both asset and liability in building his empire. When Brad's business fails, he refuses private settlement, insisting all funds return to bankruptcy proceedings. This same inflexibility proves fatal to his political career when he authorizes tear gas against student protesters at Whitby University, one decisive but rigid action that ends his political ambitions. The brothers present stark contrasts. Rudolf achieves financial success but lacks emotional connection, while Thomas remains financially unstable yet creates genuine joy with Kate aboard the Clotilde. Their divergent paths raise the question, which man is truly rich and which poor? Following Thomas's death, Rudolf rows his brother's dory into the harbor alone, finding peace on the water while remembering both brother and father. Unlike his father, who chose suicide, Rudolf acknowledges he has different claims upon him, suggesting he might finally break the destructive patterns of the Jordache man. The novel opens in 1945 with Germany's surrender. Rudolf leads a patriotic parade through Port Phillip, while Thomas and Claude protest by burning a cross on a hill overlooking town. Axel, a German immigrant who despises his homeland, rows on the Hudson River, drinking bourbon and mocking all patriotism as he contemplates Germany's defeat. As America moves from the prosperous 1950s into the turbulent 1960s, the Jordache siblings follow divergent paths. Rudolf becomes a successful businessman and aspiring politician, embracing the establishment. Thomas creates his own Mediterranean kingdom beyond American social constraints. Gretchen navigates the entertainment industry, experiencing the era's shifting sexual politics and gender roles. By 1966, the generational divide emerges in Gretchen's conversation with her son Billy, whose cynicism about both the Vietnam War and its protesters reflects a generation trusting neither authority nor rebellion. This exchange foreshadows Rudolf's political downfall during university protests, symbolizing the broader cultural shift away from post-war certainties. Shaw masterfully depicts how family patterns repeat across generations. Wesley inherits Thomas's strength and violent tendencies, eventually jailed for nearly killing a man, the very behavior Thomas warned against. Billy inherits Gretchen's cynicism, rejecting connection while unconsciously mimicking her pattern of seeking fulfillment in shallow relationships. After Thomas dies in a tragic accident at sea, the family gathers to scatter his ashes, acknowledging their shared history despite decades of conflict. Each processes Thomas's legacy differently. Wesley bitterly reflects on his father's warnings about fighting. Gretchen sees Thomas's violent death as inevitable, and Rudolf remembers how Thomas faced danger alone, disdaining my help, disdaining my manhood. The novel concludes with Wesley in jail, a tragic repetition of his father's tendencies. Yet within this seemingly pessimistic ending lies hope. Awareness of these patterns is the first step toward breaking them. The Jordache story reminds us that while we cannot escape our origins entirely, we can understand how they shape us and potentially write different endings to our own stories.